Welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am Lisa Zimmer, your host today, and we are going to have quite an interesting little show today because my original first guest, I have three guests scheduled, and my first original guest was author David Bedrick, who wrote Talking Back to Dr. Phil. It's the Alternatives to Mainstream Psychology. And unfortunately, David's not able to be with us today, but we have another incredible guest I was able to book last minute, and he will be entering the scene very, very soon, and his name is Travis Laureano. He is such a soul from God that really blesses our earth with his light and his work. But what I'd like to talk about today, because I am kind of winging it here this first half hour, I'd like to talk a little bit about how we, in our vulnerable state, as humans, give our power away way too much, all the time, often. And that's really what the scope of the book that I was going to interview David on was, basically how often we give our power away, and we give our power away at times when we're so vulnerable and we're so in desperation of need of assistance and insight. And, you know, there's so many of these aspects in our world today that people go and seek for inspiration. And in our quick fix society, everyone wants instant answers to the things that ail us, our weight problems, our anxiety, our depression, our marital conflicts. And too often we turn to experts, whether it's in counseling, psychology, even paranormal psychology, metaphysics, and intuitives and psychics. Yes, I did use that word because I have been over 30 years now an intuitive. I work with clients through a word of mouth referral. I do not advertise. I also know that when you're using the intuition, when you're tapping into that super consciousness, there is a very fine line of using intuition, having compassion and discrimination, and also not pushing the envelope and coming up with an answer to satisfy a client. Very, very important to have integrity in this business. Too many flake factors, too many flakes wandering around calling themselves psychics and intuitives and really screwing with people's lives and choices because people are vulnerable. This is a vulnerable society. People want answers. The best thing to do is guidance. Free will dominates people. Free will dominates, not psychics' predictions, not what someone tells you to do. Your free will choice and decision dominates. And so that is what I really want to come with today. We have some wonderful guests, like I said earlier. We have Travis Laureano, who's coming on right now. Then I'm moving into Kate Hoffman, who is an acupuncturist. We're going to talk about stress relievers in her profession and what we can do and tools we can use for ourselves with acupuncture. Would be the same aspect in that she would use if she was using acupuncture on you. Then we have our nutritionist who comes in and talks to us all the time. She's wonderful, love her, Terry Cochran. She's going to wrap up our hour with a dietary insight. So without further ado, I am going to bring my buddy Travis Laureano on to greet you. He is such a light for this world, and without further ado, Travis Laureano, God bless you for coming on the show today. How are you?
I'm good. I wondered if you knew I made it on. So
I did. I saw your number, and I was rambling, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll wrap this up and bring on Travis. How
cool.
Are you, Travis?
I'm good. Good. Full plate, like always, but good stuff. How about you?
I know it. You are, you know, we've been trying to make contact on a communication level for so long, and isn't it ironic that last minute, here we go. So here we are. You have just really inspired me. You know, we met, Travis and I met actually online. So we met through social media. And we mm-hmm. formed a friendship through online because of similar values and insights, humor, and self-worth. So I think that we really resonated really unconsciously on that level. But, Travis, mm-hmm. I really want to know more about your soul purpose and the kind of work you're doing today, because I know that your work varies, and I know it's so God-oriented and soul-oriented. It comes from who you are as a person. And just talk to me today about what's going on in your world and what you're working with.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, it's been, you know, and it's been always fun to connect with you on this stuff. Thank you. And it's been about 12 solid years since, like, a real transformation for me. I mean, I just started asking, is there more out of life? And, you know, I really started thinking I should ask God, because I don't really have a strong relationship there. I believe in God, but I just started asking, God, are you there? Are you more personal? Can it be different? Is there other, you know, is there more to things within our space? Can you reveal yourself to me differently and at a different level? And is there, you know, some purpose I'm supposed to do here that I don't really understand yet? And I just got inquisitive about that, and it was interesting because some things started to happen after that, and I didn't immediately always tie it to an answer to that, but then I looked back and realized it was little bit by little bit. And so, you know, I was actually in Landmark Education in 01, and I went through transformation there, and I realized I had this, like, epiphany. I want to help people transform. I mean, you can put people into a conversation about their conversation with themselves and with life and change the perspective of it, and it changes your life, sometimes a little and sometimes enormously. And
right.
I just thought that was so cool. And I had such a radical change in my own full self-expression that began to come through. And I thought, man, everybody needs to feel like this caterpillar to butterfly feeling. You know, that's kind of how
right.
I felt. So, you know, it's been about transformation. It's been about really finding things that are in the unknown. They're not so much in the known and stuff, because that's, you know, it's not necessarily transformation is in our current knowing. A lot of times there's something outside of that that comes in, and maybe someone else knows it, but we don't yet. It's a perspective or an idea. And then all of a sudden you kind of take it on, and it opens up your mind and your world, and it's amazing. That's a lot of what I've been working on, is that renewing the mind transformation for, I mean, it's amazing. It's been like 12 years. I just can't believe it. So.
Right. It goes quickly, but it's, you know, there's, I loved what you said about, you know, is there more out there? Because I know, as you know, that this time in society, in our world, seems to be really tugging at the hearts and souls of everyone. And
mm-hmm.
so many people are asking that same question. Is there more? Is there more? Where's my happiness? Where's my peace of mind? And so, mm-hmm. you know, to find these things, many times they step outside of themselves and look outside of themselves, which is elusive. And it actually creates a lot of disconnect from source, from
mm-hmm.
God, from light, from passion within the soul. And,
yeah.
You know, one of these things, and I, you know, you may have heard my little tirade this morning on psychic predictions, is that people go to these psychics. And I have
mm-hmm.
a real opposition to that word psychic, because people like to put me in that category. And although I am intuitive, I do know my boundaries and I do know my limits, and I would not predict something that God has only the control over. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you go to somebody who calls themselves a psychic, you know, you're looking outside of yourself and you're doing these things, you got to be really aware, which is you're bringing people back to their source. You're changing their perspective and communication. You're changing their view. Sometimes, you know, letting people vent helps them really understand where their stance is, because oftentimes people don't really know what their stance is till they hear themselves say it out loud. So, you know,
yeah.
that's a beautiful thing. You can step in and change their perspective like that and offer some light into the world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's, talking about that part reminds me of an experience that I had when I lived in Oregon and I was running. had a girlfriend that ran marathons, and I started running. I'm not really, per se, a runner. I'm not really built like that, but I wanted to run. I started following her. She's a great runner, you know. So it was very humbling, for one. And my mind, you know, we'd go running, and she could run for, you know, a couple hours at a time, all the time. She ran all the time. And for the first 30 minutes, my noise in my mind was so loud and so resistant. I don't like this. I can't do this. This isn't me. And what it would do is, for about 20 to 40 minutes on average, but I figured about 30, it was in resistance. And then once I worked through that, if I stayed with it, it finally stopped, and then we would run for an hour and a half more, and I loved it, and my body just went with it. But the first 30 minutes, I swear, it was a whole other thing. And so it kind of reminds me of venting. It's like it had to vent,
right,
all that, and I had to keep pushing past it, not stop, because it kind of was almost making me want to stop. I had to let it vent for 30 minutes, it seemed like. And
right.
then it was like, wow, I love this for, you know, why did I not love this a little bit ago? It was amazing.
Well, it's kind of that chemical shift, you know, and it's like that perceptional shift. It's that neuropathway that's all of a sudden regaining a new perspective and a new idea, and all of a sudden these little neurons are firing up in your brain, and it's like, you know, aha. You know, it's that whole different world that exists, but when you're in a state, you know, sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees. And and you're at this place where, you know, everywhere you go, you seem to create such a dynamic change. I think the last time we spoke, you had helped a family with a very ill son. And that was very life-changing for you as well.
Yeah, very. And that was definitely something that I felt God put on my heart, because from logic standpoint, I was in Florida at the time. I didn't really know the father very well. I met him through a client, and then I found out, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry about your son, and 4-year-old boy with a rare brain tumor, stuff like that. But I kept getting this call on my heart, because I was understanding what was going on too, and they weren't giving him any hope. They put him on drugs, you know, and I just kept having this thing like, tell him that you can help him. And, you know, logically it wouldn't make any sense for me to do any of that or say any of that. But I kept this call on me, and I just did it. And I told them, I said, look, I can help you if you want. Here's what I can do. I do believe I can get him off drugs and out of pain. I don't know, I'd say, you know, only God knows about the whole part where, you know, the kids don't really survive through that. Maybe 1% of that, they survive through that particular type of tumor. I don't know about that part. That's really up to God as far as I'm concerned. But I do believe I could get him out of pain and off drugs. And I said, then maybe there's other possibilities that come from that. I said, but if that's something that's helpful, let me know. And he said, you know what? Let me think about that. And so the next day he called me. He says, you know what? Nobody's given me any hope. And you're the only one giving me some hope. And it's like, you really mean that? Because I was all the way in Florida. He's in Oregon, you know.
Right,
I told him,
right,
I have to drive over there because I got to drive a car. So it was pretty, I mean, that was a total faith thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I lived there for several months at the house where he lived. And
wow,
we did get him off drugs and out of pain. He passed away, but he wasn't vegged out from all those drugs and all that pain.
Right.
So, yeah, but very, so much to that whole story. And talk about, I mean, you know, that was a total God thing. Totally.
Right. And that's a life changer. I mean, that's a dynamic. That's something you volunteered. You open-hearted yourself right into that. And, you know, you're a vulnerable vibration. And It's something that's going to change you. It's going to alter you. And you are already on that whole, you know, open heart compassion. I mean, you're a very compassionate soul. And to walk into something so emotional and so heavy, I mean, you know, there's no way you can really make light of this. It's a heavy, heavy thing when any child is like that. And when anyone is like that, but for children, it just, you know, it pulls at you so much more with the innocence of children. But, I mean, you know, this is really, you know, this is the essence of who you are, Travis. And that's why I'm so blessed to have your essence on the show today, because this is what it's all about, is taking the guy next door, the person you don't know, and you don't know what trauma they're carrying or what heartbreak they're carrying or what light inside of them is carrying. So to have that open-hearted compassion and empathy to your neighbor, to your stranger next door to you, to whomever, it you know, it shows us what exists in humanity in knowing you. And the world needs so many more of yous in here.
I appreciate, you know, and it's likewise, it's a mutual feeling about, you know, what you're doing. It's opening up the conversations for obviously something very, very different that you're not going to hear on the news and things like that. And, you know, that I think, you know, it is just trying to live the golden rule. I mean, really just try and think about that all the time and do as we wish it to be returned, and realize it's all really kind of a boomerang. You know, and just talking about like the subject you're on today, I mean, it is interesting. There's reality and then there's belief. And
yes,
reality isn't really where anybody lives. We live in belief because, you know, you have two different people. I mean, I've lived in towns before. Like, I think of Oregon, you know. It's very small, and it's very different than a lot of the larger places. And there's little towns there, and there's just nothing going on. And you could have two different people. One absolutely believes that it's peaceful and wonderful and amazing and safe, and then someone else believes that it's absolutely dangerous. And, you know, very opposite. And it shows that if you have other people that could prove either way, I mean, you could pretty much argue either way, but reality isn't really, it really boils down to belief. Everything is belief. We get to believe what we want. What we believe is what shows up. What we focus on expands.
Yeah.
And we're all building that.
It's all of these simple statements, colloquials, these statements of like that we go through in our days that we become these phrases. And yet it really is, when we start off our day in a positive thought, in a positive intention, in a positive attitude, say a little prayer of gratitude, you know, wake up with some optimism and some feeling of luck, believe it or not, the day seems to unwind like that. If we wake up and we're miserable and we didn't sleep well and we're grouchy and, gosh, the coffee stinks, and, you know, then guess what? You know, your day's going to go that way as well. So, you know, it's really a matter of taking some mindful control over our thoughts and what juice we're putting out there, because, you know, what we put out definitely boomerangs back, like you said, and this is the reality of what we're finding time and time and time again. And it's, you know, there's this piece here that we really have of, you know, being mindful and having integrity. And I think that when we are mindful and we have integrity, the next natural progression is being compassionate and having empathy for our fellow man. And these things are kind of like the building blocks to not only our own soul growth, but our own, you know, development as a person, as an individual, as a contributing member of society. I mean, you don't have to bring it into the spiritual world necessarily if you're an atheist or if you're an agnostic. But the aspect of everything revolves and everything is an energy and we all are a vibration is actually a truism. So, yeah. You know, this whole piece of giving our power away and then also understanding what great power we all individually have. And then the next piece is when we have an individual power and we resonate with similar souls, similar kindred spirits, similar people who really get us, then that energy mm-hmm. is even amplified. And that's the beauty of essence, of truth, of authenticity, and of, you know, your soul purpose. But you've got such an honest, humble authenticity, and you really are being extremely humble, because I do know that the work that you do is pretty powerful, and you're being very humble in that. So that just makes me appreciate you all the more, Travis.
Well, I'm just trying to be a channel, you know. So I realize that I just am allowing stuff to come through me, and it's an art. I mean, you have to. It's really an unusual thing to learn how to do that. I guess it's just like a musician or somebody. They have to really sometimes just learn how that works, and it's just almost like I don't really know where a lot of it comes from, except from, you know, higher realm. But I realize, yeah, I'm kind of a mirror and a channel more than anything, and I just have to learn how to line up to the signal and let it come through. And then it's just amazing, because it's a lot of stuff I would never think of logically. Like, I wouldn't make it up on my own. It's these
right.
things that come through, and then they end up causing things that are just unexplainable at times. And it's like, wow, that definitely didn't come from me.
Right. Well, it came from your higher self. You know,
yeah.
It's that connectedness that you're tapped in. You're tapped into the collective unconscious, and you've got that vibe that just resonates truism. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are not based in integrity, not based in heart and soul, and also claim to channel or claim to, you know, allow the energy or spirit to speak through them, and they use it manipulatively. So, again,
yeah.
You know, you have to feel through it. If somebody's saying something and it resonates to you, then listen a little deeper. If somebody says something and it's touching a nerve, well, maybe you still need to hear it. But if it touches a nerve that sounds like, you know what, this may be BS, take note, because it may be BS. So, you know, there's so many gamuts. The one thing that I have to watch, because I can get on my soapbox pretty well on, is is those in the spiritual community, because there's so many in the spiritual community that use the spiritual community as a manipulative tool for their ego.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know, and it's a very challenging piece to really decipher and have discernment on who's coming from a place of integrity and who's really, you know, blowing smoke up your shorts. So it's I'm rolling with it, Travis. I'm rolling. So, you know, we all have to take some more of an awareness in ourselves and those that we really give our power away to, because we have more going for us than maybe we give ourselves credit for. What do you have going on down the road for yourself? Anything you're focusing on, or taking a trip, or anything that you've got on the horizons for yourself?
Well, I did come down here to San Diego to work with the military on a pilot program for PTSD from Pacific Institute, and this pilot's been running for a couple of years, and it's been the most successful by far for, you know, focusing on that, you know, that issue that seems to be obviously heavily, you know, there's a heavy awareness around it, not
right.
just military too. It's a lot of firemen and police too. People don't really realize that PTSD is actually, you know, so many people suffer from it. All of us really do on some level, past trauma. But it's even with police and fire. I mean, these are 20, 30 year people in a career that they're in a crock pot of dealing with extreme situations.
Right.
And it does have an impact. But I'm over here with this particular one that's focused for military. So then helping in that, and then also there's some new things in kind of holistic health and whatnot that I'm working with out of Austria. There's some special things out of Austria that are new to the U.S., and it's just now hitting the U.S., and I'm one of the very few people that has been able to partake in it, so it's pretty cool.
That's very cool. So, I look forward to when you want to talk about that and be on the show again, because that would be a lovely thing as well. You know, this, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder is something that is only now starting to be talked about with less of a because, you know, it first came out with the Gulf War, and then it was really, you know, started to show up with those coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. And you've got this piece with our American soldiers that we really need to, as a society, step up, because these people are giving us their lives. And we need to step up and offer our services. We need to step up and offer our help and our support. And we need to do it free of charge, because these people are really, really suffering, and they suffered for us. So it's time for us as Americans to show our worth in helping them back. And I really, really, really applaud you for your purpose there, Travis. That's amazing. So God bless you and your work. Really appreciate it.
You too.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to, is there anywhere you'd like our audience to connect with you or vibe with you anywhere, Travis? If so, you know, this is the time to let them know. Otherwise, we won't.
Well, you mean as far as like connecting or contacting areas like websites, things like that? Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes, for your work, yes.
You know, the one site that is usually up and whatnot is the thankyouhappens.com. So yeah, just all spelled out, thankyouhappens with an s.com. That's one place. And then of course, you know, if anybody has anything that they're curious about or whatever, I mean, they can contact you if they like, and you can connect me to them or whatever. And happy to help people. I keep things pretty small and intimate most of the time, and pretty focused. So there's people here and there that kind of come through, and I just always feel like they're, you know, they're supposed to be there, and I try and connect with people, and if they want to you know, focus on something that's they're curious about or having an issue with or whatever, then, you know, we do that and
wonderful.
Cause some sort of shift in it.
Wonderful. God bless you, Travis. And thank you so much for being my last minute call. I couldn't ask for a better guest to come on last minute for me out of the blue. Just God bless your heart and soul and such integrity in what you do. And truly, truly, thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, Travis. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
And now we're going to bring my next guest on the air, and that is going to be my guest, Kate Hoffman. Kate is an acupuncturist, and she actually lives in a local area here in Vero Beach with me. And I have not met Kate in person, but I look forward to meeting Kate in person. And without further ado, let me introduce acupuncturist Kate Hoffman, who's going to talk to us a little bit about stress relief and stress relievers and her work. So without further ado, Kate, thank you so much for being a guest on Unlimited Realities today. Welcome, welcome.
Well, I'm so glad to be a guest on your wonderful show, and it's wonderful to at least meet you over the phone, even though we're so near to each other. But one day we shall meet in person.
We will definitely meet in person sooner than later, Kate. I assure you. I love acupuncture. I have had acupuncture done, and I know that many people are afraid of it because of the needles. And yet, when you have acupuncture, the needles are so thin, and you don't really feel anything. So talk to us a little bit about first the procedure of acupuncture, and then we can get into specifics as well as stress relievers and things like that, however you want to run with this, okay?
I'll be happy to, Lisa. That's a wonderful approach we're taking, because that's the first thing I have on my website is a little video about how small the needles are, because I am one of those people who hated needles. It's very funny how whoever is running this show, or may we call it God or the higher power, brought me to acupuncture and to actually enjoying getting acupuncture and doing it. But that's another story. But basically, our needles are so thin that three of them fit into the hole of the syringe that you get a shot with.
Oh, wow.
So they are, yes, it's unbelievable. I was even talking to actually somebody who does tattoos. And he said, oh, we're using these fine needles, and mine are three times finer. So he was in shock.
Wow, so that's incredible.
I feel blessed to be an acupuncture physician in a time where we can make needles that thin. I bet you 1,000 years ago they weren't that thin.
Right, could you imagine?
And, yes, I can't. Even 50 years ago, people had to sharpen the needles and clean them themselves, and nowadays all the needles go into the blue bucket and they get incinerated, so there's no reuse of needles. So there's no fear of getting anything from a needle, and there's no pain. Sometimes people may feel tightening around the needle, a warm sensation, or a little bit of an electrical sensation if we really hit the meridian or the acupuncture point, but that should go away immediately.
And what do you find people, I know they come to you for a myriad of reasons, and I know that any ailment can be treated, but what do you find today seems to be the most common ailments that people come to you with?
It is really interesting, because I started out with mainly treating pain patients, and I always said to them, usually people come for pain and they stay for stress.
Uh-huh.
So it's perfect, the subject of the show, because they are, the people who came for pain, they got the pain relief, but they also said, could it be that I feel less stressed after getting needles poked into me, and that I feel relaxed and yet energized? And I said, yes, absolutely. That's part of the acupuncture experience usually.
Wonderful.
And lately I actually have more and more people who also have problems with PTSD, with anxiety disorders, with stress, with depression. And as you said, acupuncture has been treating everything. You know, half the world has been using Oriental medicine, what we call Oriental medicine, for 3,500 years. And so we are talking about a time when there was no Western medicine. That was when the West was still crawling in caves, when they were already treating ailments. So acupuncture has techniques that have come from experiencing and smart people, smarter than me, who came up with new techniques over the last 3,500 years. So we have tons of ways to approach something. So if anybody ever says, oh, I've been to an acupuncture physician, it didn't help, it's like saying, oh, I've been to an Italian restaurant, I didn't like it, when they went to something, and they could go to a different Italian restaurant from a different region and fall in love with it.
Right. And aren't there also ailments that people come to you for, and they may notice an improvement immediately, but they also may need to come 3 or 8 times to actually start to see an improvement over time?
Absolutely. I actually usually tell people, I don't really want to take you on if you don't commit to at least 4 treatments, because sometimes you have to wait until the miracle happens. The
right.
Body, we have so many traumas in all our lives. Any trauma from when we are born, and don't tell me birth is not a trauma, all these traumas build up in our system, and we have memory in our cells from all these traumas. And basically, if we look at the body as an energy system, as we as oriental medical practitioners do, there are energy flows in the system, and any trauma kinks and makes the flow stagnant. And basically, if you visualize it like garden hoses, all traumas, all stressors, even living in a damp climate as we do, these 12 inches in a day kinked cut some of our garden hoses, you know, it impeded our flow of energy throughout our body. And what acupuncture basically does is de-kinking those garden hoses. And if somebody is in their 60s, 70s, even 50s, and they come with a lot of kinked garden hoses, sometimes it takes a while until the body can heal or go to the area of distress and take care of it. Because the acupuncturist doesn't heal, that's between you and your higher power, but we definitely help the body to go back to the inherent healing modalities that the body has and give it more energy so it can take care of things.
Wonderful. And talk to me a little bit about how the energy flows in the body, because I'm aware of the meridians of how the channels of energy flow in the body, but let's educate the audience here about how those channels work.
Okay. Basically, it depends on if you listen to somebody who was taught by Chinese people who were after the Cultural Revolution, or to other people who remember or who were taught by long-term generations of acupuncture physicians, who found these meridians, who even figured out that there is an energy flow. And basically, what I believe is that Taoist meditation masters felt the energy flow and felt how the energy was moving through these meridians that are like highways through the body. And these meridians actually are connected, interconnected with each other, and they connect to everything in the body. So basically, you have this perfect circulation of energy throughout everything that we call our body. And so you have, let's say, the large intestine channel, which runs, the official large intestine channel runs from the top of the, from the tip of the pointing finger. I'm from Germany, so sometimes I have weird names for things, but I call it the pointing finger. Is it the index finger?
Index finger, yes.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. We know what the pointer finger is. We use it too.
That's actually the German word. I very rarely translate from German to English, but I guess with that one I took that liberty. So it runs from that finger all the way to the opposite side of the lower side of your nose.
Wow.
And so, but that's only the official channel. On the other hand, it's connected to the lung channel on the hand, and the lung channel officially ends on the tip of the side of the nail of the thumb. And then within these channels, they connect to other channels. They have connecting points. And then these channels internally connect to organ systems and organs. So this channel, the large intestine channel that's on your arm, internally connects to your large intestines.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. So when people say, let's say I stick a needle into this point called large intestine 4, which is in the web between the thumb and the index finger, approximately in the middle of the bone that leads to your index finger, the last bone in the hand. If you press on that and you feel this area that's tender, you take one finger, you take the other index finger in the middle of your hand, and then on the outside of your hand, you take your thumb and you rub that web between the thumb more and muscular part. You feel a tender point. That tender point is called LI4. And this point is fantastic because it's also one of the four gates that opens up the flow in the body of all the energy. So that point is wonderful to use if you have stress or if you have a headache. It is actually for toothache, headache. even for large intestine problems, let's say you have an urge and there is no bathroom around, you can rub that. Maybe it's going to help you hold off a little bit longer. I mean, those are all, you know, fun things to know about.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that is priceless information, Kate. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Well, if I may digress, there is actually one point that I get a lot of points from people around Thanksgiving and Christmas because it helps when you're overfull.
Okay.
When you've overeaten or if you have any distress in the stomach area, there's a point about three fingers above your kneecap on the outside of the muscle, of the thigh muscle, and you look for the tender point and you rub that stomach 34, that's the acute stomach point. And on Thanksgiving, when you think you can't walk, you can't think, you can't breathe, and you rub that, you feel better. So, okay, we took that little sidetrack. But this LI4 point is one of four points, so you can rub that on both sides of the hand. So when you even just look at that point, it has so many reasons to be used. It is unbelievable. It is official reasons, like for the area of the hand. It is for headaches. It is for stress. It is for doing the whole body good by relaxing and equalizing the energy flow of the whole body. So there are so many levels of where the meridian goes, what they do, and what they're connected to.
Oh, that is fascinating. That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, that's perfect because I just love how you did that because we just covered a stress reliever for the audience and they can do it on their own. And this is wonderful. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't go see an acupuncturist. Don't think you got all bases covered with rubbing your thumb. You still need to go see an acupuncturist.
Well, you're absolutely right. I would love for a world where all people would get at least once a month an acupuncture treatment just for maintenance because it used to be a maintenance and before getting an illness treatment. It was a treatment to keep the healthy, to keep the body in the equilibrium, in the homeostasis that the body is trying to achieve by itself. And in this world where we're kinking so many garden hoses day and night, I mean, you turn the television on and there goes a kink.
Right, right. So that's exactly right.
it would be marvelous if everybody went to an acupuncture physician. And there are great acupuncture physicians in every town. You can go on the internet. And how I always say is you check with whom you vibrate, with who attracts your attention. You read the website, you check out their videos and say, I like this person. And you go with that gut feeling that you are so wonderfully describing to your audiences because with that intuition, you will find the perfect acupuncture physician for you.
Yes, amen. And that is wonderful.
Basically, you know, I have sometimes people come in with things like, let's say people come in with a tendonitis or a tendonitis in the elbow, and then they say, wow, I didn't even tell you about my right knee was hurting too and it's not hurting anymore, or I'm sleeping better and the stress level is way down. So even if you don't think you have anything, it's great to establish having an acupuncture physician and who knows your body, who knows how the acupuncture works with you, you are comfortable. And then if you have anything acute, you're an established patient and you can get in usually in a heartbeat. I mean, I try to get my patients in as soon as possible.
Oh, that's wonderful, Kate, because you know Mark, my partner, and we've used acupuncturist over in Naples, and I think I'm going to make him an appointment with you. So we're going to get that taken care of. Where can the audience find you? This would be your website or any contact that you'd like to offer the audience.
I would love that. I actually have a brand new, beautiful website. I'm very proud of it. And you can see me in person in videos on that thing. And it's Vero Acupuncture. It's V-E-R-O Acupuncture, A-C-U-P-U-N-C-T-U-R-E. And I always misspelled it with double C in the beginning. So, you know,
I try to
tell people that it's one C. And, you know, with my last name, it's more difficult because Hoffman, it's double F and double N, like North. I'm the real thing. I'm from Germany, so it's double N.
Okay, okay. And, yeah. And you know, and, the piece here for me is, you know, people need to realize that acupuncture is such a phenomenal tool. It's such a phenomenal treatment. And it has been around, like you said, 3,500 years at least. Mm-hmm. And it isn't painful, people. You will feel wonderful. You'll love it. You'll become a believer like I am. Trust me, I'm telling you, you will love it. So, Kate, I just want to thank you so much for being my guest today. You were just such a delight and such a wise, wise soul. I truly, truly appreciate your wisdom and your insight. Thank you so much for being on, and I look forward for you to come on again sometime.
I would love that. I love teaching. That's one of my passions. That's one of my archetypes. And I love sharing about acupuncture because in a perfect world, we're going to have MDs and acupuncture physicians and medical intuitives and meditation masters, everybody pulling on the same string, getting this world of ours and this humanity, our family of humanity, pulling on the same string, coming from love and in health.
Oh, Kate, I love that. That was a perfect, perfect segue. Thank you so much for that. Kate Hoffman, everybody, acupuncturist, Vero Beach, Florida is where she resides, and her website is veroacupuncture.com. And, Kate, thank you so much. You have been such a wonderful guest. God bless you, and have a beautiful weekend.
God bless you, too. You, too. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was really, really wonderful stuff. I really loved having Kate on. She just really gave us some great tools for stress relief, didn't she, with that thumb? So remember, you know, that little fleshy part right between where the thumb and the bone is, massage that, okay? That's a stress reliever. That's a beautiful, beautiful tool there. And now we're going on with my other wonderful female guest today, and she's been on numerous times, and I would have her on every time she's available because I absolutely love Terry. We have Terry Cochran coming on again, and she is such a genius dietary nutritionist. I just marvel at her wisdom. Every single week she's on, I just literally look at myself in a mirror. Sometimes I'm walking by because I pace when I do the show, and I'll catch my face and my mouth is hanging open because I'm just so in awe by what she brings to the table here. So without further ado, Terry Cochran, thank you for being our guest today. How are you, Terry?
I am doing so well, and I'm so glad I was listening in on Kate's segment because I completely endorse everything that she speaks to. I am a big proponent of acupuncture. I recommend a lot of my clients to acupuncture, and I work very collaboratively with a lot of acupuncturists here in the Washington, D.C. area, and I agree, not all acupuncturists are created equal, so it really is important to find the one that resonates with you. So
right.
For sharing, it's so true,
and it's you know, in comparison, in conjunction with your work and an acupuncturist, you really can reverse ailments, can't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And today, the ailment I'm going to be talking about is yeast, and the big yeast connection that we have in our country. It's an epidemic. Kate spoke to the gut, and yeast resides in the gut. A lot of times, we are misdiagnosed because there is no link in the traditional allopathic medical community for gas and bloating, for mental fogginess, for UTIs, for recurrent sinus infections, for lethargy, and they can't get to the root of it. Well, in a lot of cases, the root of it is yeast. We have systemic yeast growing in our GI tract that is causing an immune response, lowering our immune system, increasing an inflammatory response in our bodies, actually fermenting in our gut. So a lot of gas and bloating is really fermentation in the gut, which is fed by sugar. Well, why are we such a yeasty population? Well, the reason being is that the average American consumes 160 pounds of sugar a year. One quarter of our caloric intake of sugar is in the form of soft drinks or drinks. And that is really affecting the youth because they are so driven to go to the soda machines and schools and their places
right.
of sporting events. Everybody brings soft drinks or even Gatorade, which I like Gatorade, but it's filled with sugar and preservatives.
Right.
So what does that do? It really fuels potentially the yeast in our system. And how do we get yeast to begin with? Well, the reason we get yeast is that our colon is filled with what I call the happy bacteria, good colonic bacteria that helps us create the B vitamins and vitamin K and help support the production of vitamin D. When we are sick, we are prescribed antibiotics. And I know that more and more doctors are being a lot less loose with their pen and their prescription pads in filling antibiotic scripts, but we're still over antibiotic in our society. And what the antibiotic does is it kills the good guys.
Right.
It strips our gut of the good guys, and it replaces it with the bad guys, which is yeast. It creates an environment for yeast. And how is this yeast fed? It's fed with sugar. So it really is what I call it, feeding the beast of yeast, through our standard American diet. And so what do we have to do to help eradicate or minimize yeast? One is we got to lower the sugar content that we're taking in from our food supply. It's everywhere. High fructose corn syrup is hidden in so many packaged goods that we don't even know what real sweetness means, because our palates have been trained to receive oversweet. And so that's what we crave. And when we get used to more sugar, we're going to crave more sugar, especially if we have yeast.
Right.
Because the yeast way of staying alive is through sugar and foods that even convert to sugar. So even foods that are naturally good for us, for example, pineapple and grapes, those are wonderful foods. But if we have yeast, we really need to move to different kinds of fruits or limit our fruits to lemon, lime, and grapefruit that are alkalizing and have very little sugar content.
Okay, wonderful. And how could we, without the use, with the yeast in our body, what else can we do to kind of combat that?
Well, there are a lot of great herbs and foods to kill yeast. Our wonderful cruciferous vegetables, which you know I'm a big fan of, they have very high sulfur compounds, and sulfur kills yeast. So broccoli and cabbage and bok choy and arugula kills yeast. Herbs really kill yeast, garlic and oregano. Oregano is a phenomenal yeast buster. Basil is a great yeast buster. Berberine is a phenomenal yeast buster. I shared the story that one weekend my son, we were away. I happened to have oregano because I was cooking at the vacation home where we were staying, and he got sick. I didn't have any of my supplements. I literally made him oregano tea, and within 12 hours, he was feeling a lot better.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oregano is a powerful antifungal, antimicrobial, antibacterial. It's just so broad spectrum. And herbs are powerful, and they're powerfully healing. So a great way to eliminate yeast is through these herbs. Now, one caveat to that is if you have impaired sulfation, or if you have a lot of arthritis, then sulfur compounds may not be your friend. And then in that case, you would move to the herbs of olive leaf and tarragon and basil and berberine. Those are non-sulfuric, but they will still be very effective in killing the yeast. And so the way that I approach my practice in really killing the yeast, and I have so many clients with yeast and, with yeast issues. I had a new client this morning, had a significant yeast condition, is we do it twofold. We starve the beast, as I say it, by oxygenating and alkalizing the body, and we do that through foods that are lean proteins, certain nuts. Peanuts and pistachios are contraindicated when you have yeast because they carry mitotoxins and are fungal. Beans, which are supposed to be very healthy for us, lentils and peas are contraindicated when you're trying to eliminate yeast.
You can do
hummus, but not those others because they're heavier in the mold content. Of course, our wonderful mushrooms, which are so powerfully important as a good protein, it's fungus. So we have to eliminate mushrooms when we're considering yeast elimination, as well as aged cheeses and cheese in general and milk, because it carries the lactose, which is the milk sugar. So we need to follow a food that is lean and green. Lots of those sulfuric compounds, if you don't have a sulfur sensitivity through the cruciferous family, or the spinach, the Swiss chard, the asparagus, all those are also very powerful in oxygenating and alkalizing. And so when you put this approach together of a nutritional approach along with the herbal supplementation, then you really are on your way to eradicating yeast and getting rid of these infections that have gone on forever and that just keep triggering a response when your immune system is lowered.
And how long would you recommend, I mean, because everyone's yeast infection could be, you know, a different level or a different degree, like one could be less or one could be more. How often or how long would you recommend doing the herbal treatment and eliminating the foods? I mean, it sounds like, you know, for the most part, elimination of some of these foods would not be a bad idea.
Right,
but,
exactly. Typically, it's
timing.
A six-week protocol.
Six weeks?
Okay. Protocol. And then you reintroduce, you challenge the body. If you feel lousy when you re-challenge, you know it's not gone yet.
Okay.
And then you
okay.
do it for another 6 weeks.
Okay. All right. Because that is an incredible insight, because I think I knew like 15, 20 years ago there was rampant yeast within our bodies. And I remember the hub then was Candida. And
yes,
everybody
and
was talking
it,
about Right. So it was like that was the topic. You know, everyone's walking around with Candida, and we've got to get rid of the Candida. And, you know, and these aren't like, you know, these are yeast infections that come from what we put in our body. It's, you know, what happens. So the fact that you're addressing this and the fact that you're giving the audience such incredible tools to work with is a powerful, powerful thing. Between you and Kate, you guys are just, like, phenomenal here. It's like, wow, this is great. I feel like I've got so many, you know, health just really tweaks me. I just love to know about healthy living and healthy lifestyle and treatments and things like that that are off the mainstream. So it always tweaks me.
Yeah, no, it's really very powerful.
Mark,
yeast does not have to manifest as a yeast infection. I mean, it can, like I said, it can manifest in mental fogginess and gas and bloating, in lethargy. But recurrent sinus infections, 80% of those are fungally based. And so giving yourself an antibiotic will cause what's called a rebound effect. So you're only going to be perpetuating the problem that you're trying to get rid of through the antibiotic.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, tell our audience how they can find you.
Absolutely. You can reach me through my website, which is healingpathsva.com, or you can just Google my name, Terry Cochran, and you can find me through there. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I have a blog. And I've also written a book, and it has a lot of yeast-busting recipes, which are wonderful. And you can purchase that through my website. And it's called Restorative Recipes, A Mindful Path to the Essential You.
Oh, and we're going to get into your recipe book again when you come on, too, because not only is she, like, phenomenal with nutrition and dietary changes, but she's a phenomenal cook to put this cookbook together, because I've used it and I love food. I'm a foodie. I am very, very discriminating when it comes to my food. And this woman's like done a phenomenal job on her cookbook. So, and her name is spelled TeriCochrane. So please look her up and find out her wisdom and her book and buy the book. So, Terry, thank you once again for being my guest. You're just such a light. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you every time you're on. You are just a wealth of information, and I so deeply appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, and thank you, Lisa. You always are such a light as well and bring on such wonderful guests, really just espousing the truth with what I call with a capital T. So I'm so glad that you have great listeners, and these listeners are paying it forward, and we're having that ripple effect in our society.
Oh, amen. That was great. Thank you so much, Terry. God bless you. Have a beautiful weekend. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening today. And thank you for bearing with me as I had to wing it. And God bless Travis for coming on last minute. You guys, and Kate Hoffman for incredible acupuncture medicine. And Terry Cochran, all you guys rock. Thank you so much for being my guests. Audience, you guys rock for tuning in and listening to me. God bless you. Have a beautiful week, and we'll talk again next week. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much.